I just start with an unusual scripture that impressed me. We were up in Croydon, and they were reading in Genesis, if you turn with me to Genesis 14. And the words of the king of Sodom in Genesis 14, verse 21. And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the souls and take the property for thyself." The king of Sodom is a picture, really, of Satan. And you may not see it as precious, but even Satan knows what is precious. And he says, "Give me the souls." World and its things may look quite attractive, but behind it, this world system that we see is Satan, and it's your soul. It's a very real matter. And the way he moves is to destroy your confidence in God. We sung at the outset, God is light and God is love. It's to do with who God is. And he would seek to undermine your confidence in God. But in the gospel, in the precious scriptures, we have a true revelation of the nature and character of God. And I'd like just to read now in Genesis 2, just to set the picture, verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7. And Jehovah Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It is God who has created your precious soul. And he has a purpose that we may be in his image and likeness. I think it's important to start with God's thoughts that he has for men. Image and likeness. Glorious thought. How much higher than what this world would offer you. God's thoughts for you in purpose. And this wondrous verse, too, it speaks of the dust of the earth and the breath. And then man became a living soul. Unique in his creation. The creator and the creator are the creation are distinct. Man is distinct from what is of the animal creation. So in this education system, in schools, and in universities, they're hammering at Genesis 1, because actually, Satan, in his cunning, he knows that if we don't see man as distinct from creation, if we don't see the fall of man, then he's undermined the whole of the gospel. So he's working. He wants the souls. He wants your soul. And in so many ways, he's working to undercut your confidence in God. It's a wonderful thing. There's a wonderful hymn. It says, "Lord, to our souls, thy light is ever pure." This is the wonder of the scriptures. It's God's light in order to be, and he would have it come into your soul today. And the wonderful outshining of God's light come into our souls. And then we have the fact of the fall, and I'll just touch on it in Genesis 3, verse 1. "And the serpent was more crafty than any animal of the field, which Jehovah Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, 'Is it even so that God has said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden?'" Every tree of the garden. So right away, the enemy of your soul Here he is working with Adam and Eve, with Eve here, to undermine her confidence in God. Maybe something's come in your life. Maybe your confidence in God has been shaken. There's other things that can be used to disturb your confidence in God. Maybe a misrepresentation of Christ. Maybe tragedy has struck. But God is good, and God is faithful, and God is love. It's his nature. And Satan misrepresents God. First, he overstates the thing to every tree of the garden. He did say every tree. It wasn't the Ten Commandments here. It was one commandment. And this one commandment, really in its essence, that he was God and man was man. God decides what is good and evil and not man. And man by his senses goes and decides what's good and evil, and it's all upside down. He determines by his senses. There's no other way man could have known what was evil here but by God's word. You are, and I am, in a fallen condition. We cannot know what is good and evil. We only know through God's word what is right and what is wrong. And this is the only way they could have known. And then man fell. And so the world we see today is God starting in the beauty of creation, the fall of man. So that plus this equals what we see today. So we see the handwork of God. We can still see the wonder in creation and different things. But we see this terrible blight of sin. And the trouble is, it isn't just out there. It's in here. Really important to see. I was helped one time. The chap said the law is like a schoolmaster to bring us to God. It's like a mirror. And we can see our sin. The Spirit of God would bring in conviction of sin today. And it says here, and then men fall into sin, and then they hide themselves, and then they run. And there's no need of a Savior unless we see that we are sinners. And so he didn't come to call the righteous, and if you're maintaining your righteousness, came to call sinners to repentance. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So God moves from his side, and this is the wondrous thing. Where sin came in, grace is overabounded. If grace comes in, and God moves in grace, and he clothes Adam and Eve in these coats of skin. An animal had to die. Blood had to be shed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So God had to work and bring in that which would meet this terrible matter of sin. God saw the redemption of the soul is costly. And we're not, as we're reminded, Peter. We're reminded about Peter, and Peter came to it. He said about the preciousness, precious blood, precious redemption, precious promises. What was precious? And sometimes we hear the whole gospel many times. Okay, you hear it a number of times. You don't want to miss what is so precious, so valuable. The great and precious promises of God, and we can miss it. And not seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would make himself known. And God would today impress your soul with the precious blood of Jesus. The wonder of the work of Christ in redemption. So you have the thoughts of God clear for man. Image and likeness. And you have the fall. And you have men trapped in sin. And then God moving from his side in redemption. Mm-hmm. We all looking on the glory of the Lord are transformed. So that again, the glory of God can be seen in men. The wonder of the gospel is that as we agree with God as to not only the sins that we've done, we are in a sinful state, that we need a Savior. And that the Lord Jesus' precious blood has met this whole matter of sin. We can come again into relationship. Man can come into relationship and communion with God. What a door is open in the gospel. It's a precious door, but you can miss it because it's not physically seen. It's laid hold of in faith. It says about precious faith as well. These things are wondrous. So he says here that in Genesis 21, and Jehovah Elohim made Adam and his wife coats of skin and clothed them. I think I was reminded, I was mentioning this man I met at the hospital. He was very upset about persons that refused to take employees that refused to take responsibility for their action. And I said, are you really cross about it? Oh, yes, that really bothers me. And then I asked him, are you willing to take, when you stand before Almighty God, are you willing to take responsibility for your actions? And he says, wow, you have a point there. Are you ready to stand before Almighty God? You see, when you're in the hospital and death is really quite close, it tends to focus the mind. Now, you may think, I have a long time. We do not know this. Today is the time. And now's the time to act on God's gracious offer of salvation in Christ. See, the... We do not have today, we do not have this moment. And death, maybe it has, maybe something's happened in life and it's been brought up really close. Are you ready to stand before Almighty God? We can't stand in our own righteousness. We can't stand in our good works. We can only stand in Christ. Mm-hmm. This is the wonderful and precious thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, maybe I should read it. 1 Peter 1:9, I think. Let's see. Put it right here. Yeah, 19. Yeah, 1 Peter 1:18. That ye have been redeemed, not by corruptible things, as silver or gold, from the vain conversation handed down from your fathers, but by precious blood of a lamb without spot, without blemish, and without spot. The blood of Christ. Did you ever think of that? Christ. There was nothing internally or what he came in contact with that in any way defiled him. He lived a life of purity. Can you think how much delight the Father had in the life of Christ? He lived a life entirely in the will of God. Every moment pleasing to him. Before his public ministry, God speaks of his delight in Jesus. This is my beloved Son. God manifests his delight in Christ. He knows what is precious in Christ. Have you seen what is precious in the Lord Jesus Christ? In his person and in his work. For he had to be God and he had to be man in order to accomplish that work. There's incredible what he... You hear the excuse, well, I'm only human, so I do this and this. And God set out in Christ what it was truly to be human in his thoughts. That's God's standard. This is my beloved Son in whom I found my delight. So he brings this light in the Gospels, in the Scriptures. It comes to life. A character, we are reading such a precious section this afternoon. Under extreme pressure, you see what the gold, the preciousness of Christ coming to light, coming into display to attract our hearts to the Savior. The disciples, they saw it, and they saw it more. And then you get that wonderful, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Something. Peter has seen who the person is. So the work of Christ rests on the person of Christ. You take that away, and the work collapses. God puts before you Christ in his perfection, in his glory, in his uniqueness. He is unique. And he puts it, you know, when he stood up and the waters calmed. Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? His creatorial glory, his redemptive glory, his glorious laying out manhood pleasing to God. The gospel starts with God, heart of God, and we're brought into right relation with God through the wonder of the gospel, the wonder of Christ's work. It brings us into relation with God. You say, I'm having trouble in my relationships, in my jobs, all this stuff. No, it's your relation with God. Christ is moving to bring you, reconciling men to God. Wonder is such a wonder. And Peter, you can see in this epistle, he's been in Christ's presence, he's seen him, and now we have his witness here. And just the language he used, superlative language, it's fine, it's fine. But then when you see this perfect, this holy man, this wondrous Savior walking here in perfection of life, then suddenly your own life, your own sin, your own nature, you realize how sinful you are. And that's what happened to Peter. He suddenly was amazed and he said, depart from me, Lord. He falls at the feet of Jesus, and this is what you can do today. Bow the knee to Jesus today, unconditionally. We can't make deals. We can't make bargains. It's full surrender to Christ. And it's the best thing. You cannot manage your life. You cannot, by your own wisdom, figure out your path in life. Only as living and under the fear of God and respecting His word can you make your next step in dependence on the word of God and the direction of Christ. So our lives, the wonderful thing we read today, not my will, but thine be done. The wonderful thing, challenged as I say it myself, but that's what God has in mind, that our lives are surrendered lives, and then we're under His control. What a blessing it is. You don't have to reinvent the wheel when it comes to family life. You say, God set out this order. You don't have to, when you go to work or school, this is how God would have me in my relations, in my family. God lays it out wonderfully and perfectly. So it says here that He has redeemed us, not by corrupt, we needed to be redeemed, not by corruptible things as silver and gold, from the vain conversation handed down from your fathers, but by precious blood, that is, as a lamb without spot, the blood of Christ. And you can see it. The woman says, come see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Wonderful thing to come into the good of redemption and acceptance before God, not before men. The work of Christ is acceptable to God, and our acceptance is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's solid. It's firm. Well, I was just affected that it says, I think in Proverbs, my son, give me your heart. You know, give me your heart. The soul, he's after our souls. He's after our heart. And there was some 7,000 who didn't bow the knee or kiss Baal. That's a wonderful thing, to be maintained in your love for Christ. You're going to be asked to bow to things in this world that you should not bow to. You're going to be asked, or things are going to be enticing, to kiss, to put your affections on. But the only one worthy of your affections is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one worthy of those affections. Worthy of our love and devotion and worship. So, just affected. God works in purpose. The fall comes in, but He's worked in Christ to bring men back for His glory and for our blessing. That's the wonder of it. For His glory. Are you here for His glory? If you're a believer today, is your life glorifying Christ? We can be spiritual scarecrows and scare people off. Or we can be ones that adorn the teaching. Wonderful thing. It all stems from a new object in the heart, a new life in Christ. What is new created in the soul? God's work. Well, the gospel is precious. The Lord Jesus is the precious one. And I would just seek that none here might miss what is so precious for His name's sake.
Amen.